Amen. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you're using the blue Bible in the pew rack in front of you, you'll find it on page 837. We'll refer to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in just a moment. Now, I did just a quick Google search in preparation for the sermon this morning, trying to research the origins and history of Thanksgiving, and at least according to Wikipedia, which is not always accurate, but often does give some helpful information. According to Wikipedia, the modern Thanksgiving holiday tradition in the United States is commonly traced back to a celebration feast way back in 1621, held at Plymouth, present-day Massachusetts, when pilgrims and Puritans gathered together to thank God for a good harvest. About a century and a half later, President George Washington proclaimed the first national Thanksgiving celebration on the fourth Thursday of November in 1789. And listen to this proclamation. It was a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many favors of Almighty God. There seems to be a little more disagreement among historians as to the origins of Thanksgiving Day in Canada. But many researchers trace it back to as early as 1578, when an explorer by the name of Martin Frobisher held a Thanksgiving celebration, not for a good harvest, but for surviving the long ocean voyage from England, as he attempted to find a northern route from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean. On his third and final voyage in the far north, Frobisher held a formal ceremony in Frobisher Bay, Baffin Island, present-day Nunavut, to give thanks to God in a worship service where they celebrated communion. Well, long before the Pilgrims and Puritans celebrated Thanksgiving in the United States, and long before Frobisher and his fellow explorers gave thanks for safe voyages, the Apostle Paul, inspired by God the Holy Spirit, wrote these words to the followers of Christ in Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What a great statement to live by. So often we are wondering, what is the will of God for my life? What does God want me to do? Here, my friends, is a key component of God's will for each and every one of us. Let's read this out loud together right now. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Some great verses worth memorizing. Unfortunately, however, we are not always in the habit of being thankful. I'm afraid that particularly as Canadians, even as Christian Canadians, we have a tendency to complain, complain, complain. Almost victims of our own prosperity. We allow cynicism to creep in, which rots the roots of thankfulness. According to research done by World Vision, listen to what we have to be thankful for. If you have food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the world's population. 75%. If you have money in the bank, in your wallet, or spare change in a dish someplace, you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. 8%. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than the 1 million who will not survive this week. If you have never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, you are better off than 500 million people around the world. If you can read, you are more blessed than over 2 billion people in the world who cannot read anything at all. And if you own more than one Bible, if you own more than one Bible, you are abundantly blessed, as 1/3 of the world does not have access to even one translation. When Franklin Nelson went to Burma as a missionary, he discovered in new ways just how much we have to be thankful for. For example, he and his family ministered among many remote tribes up in the hill country of Burma, and the only way to get to those villages was by foot. It was not at all uncommon to walk up to 20 miles a day in the dry season just to minister to those villagers. When Franklin returned to North America and became a pastor, he rarely walked 1 mile a day. The telephone and the car made walking unnecessary. If someone in his family got sick when they were in Burma, the nearest hospital was 10 days away. Here in Regina, if we need medical attention, we can go to a clinic probably less than 10 minutes away. In Burma, they would often go without bread for months. Here, we have bread in abundance. 16.5 years ago, Sharon and I were in Peru for a couple of weeks, short-term missions trip, and we were heartbroken at the extreme poverty and the complete lack of any kind of social safety nets for the elderly and the homeless. We came back to Canada very, very grateful for all of the good things we usually take for granted. O.G. Wilson wrote this, listen carefully. I murmured because I had to walk 4 blocks from the parking lot to my office. Then I saw a man who was sick, hungry, and unable to take a step, and yet whose smile was as cheery as the chirp of the first robin of spring. And I complained because the light was poor. Then I met a man radiantly happy from whose eyes all sight had been lost due to an accident. Then I complained about paying too much income tax until I visited a nursing home where a penniless man was singing joyously the triumphant songs of grace. That brings us to Psalm 103, which I read for us earlier in the service. Psalm 103, the first couple of verses, bless the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, bless his holy name, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The Living Bible paraphrases that last phrase, may I never forget the good things He does for me. May I never forget the good things, the glorious things He does for me. Do you have problems remembering and forgetting? I do. My short-term memory is pretty good. I can usually remember things that have happened in the recent past, and I can usually remember things that need to be done and when they need to be done, although in recent years I'm finding I have to write things down a lot more than I used to. But my long-term memory is pathetic, and I've shared that with you before. My long-term memory is terrible. I can hardly remember anything from my childhood. And even the things in high school or Bible college or seminary, they're getting more and more fuzzy as the years go by. My wife, on the other hand, she relies on me a little more for short-term memory things, but her long-term memory is phenomenal. She can remember things very vividly from when she was just 3 years old, and I become quite envious about that at times because of the way that I struggle long-term. But here is my observation. When it comes to the things of God, I'm afraid that many of us, dare I say most of us, have both short-term and long-term memory problems. We so easily develop what becomes a chronic case of spiritual amnesia, not remembering the good things he does for us, but instead so quickly forgetting the good things that God has done for us. As I was reading and studying for today's sermon, a phrase in the Expositor's Bible Commentary caught my eye. Commenting on this particular passage of Scripture, the author wrote this: the opposite of praise is forgetfulness. And that statement caught my attention. Just think about it for a moment. Let it sink in. The opposite of praise is forgetfulness. Now, at first, I thought, I'm not sure that's true. Would not the opposite of praise be grumbling and complaining? And to be sure, grumbling and complaining and murmuring leaves little, if any, room for praise and for thanksgiving. But as the week went on, that phrase kept coming back to my mind, almost haunting me. The opposite of praise is forgetfulness. And that is why, my friends, we need to work hard, very hard, at being a thankful people in a thankless world, developing an attitude of gratitude in every situation. A few weeks ago, I got together with one of our retired Alliance missionaries, Dave Wintemute. Dave and Donna just live over on Bobolink Bay, a few blocks from Campbell Collegiate. And every few months, Dave phones me up and says, it's time for the two of us to have tea. And so I go over to his house and we have some tea. And Dave shared with me, I'm not sure why, but he shared with me that about a year or two ago, I can't remember the dates, he attended a major conference in California. A Christian conference that was dealing with mental health issues in communities and in churches. And Dave said that the main point that one of the main speakers made, this Christian mental health expert, he said that for people's mental and emotional health, it was vitally important that we all develop the habit of simply saying, thank you. According to this fellow's research and experience, his clinical experience, the mental and emotional health of so many of his patients, so many of his clients, was drastically altered using two simple words on a regular basis. Thank you. Thank you. When someone gives you something, no matter how small, thank you. When someone does something for you, no matter how insignificant, thank you. Thank you. Let's read 1 Thessalonians 5 once again. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.